Well, if I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you, my name is Paul Diani. I'm also one of the youth directors here at the Vineyard. I also have the joy of being a part of our worship team on Sunday, and today I have the honor of speaking. So I'm really excited to be here. It is an honor to share with you, and if you were here last week and you got to hear Chip, he kicked off a new sermon series we're doing here called Doing Life Together. He talked about relationships and how the relationships that we have with one another are actually a reflection of our relationship with God. And today, I'm going to be doing part two of that sermon series, Doing Life Together. And we're going to be calling this The Value of Fellowship. And as I was preparing for this message this week, and I was just kind of multitasking, I was cleaning out my email box, and I got an email from Google. And I realized that, so the subject of the email said this: Paul, here's your 2018 timeline. See the places that you have visited. And I realized, I opened the email and I went to the link, and I realized that, I also switched to a Google phone, so that was kind of a big deal for me like 6 months ago, you know, going off the Apple addiction that I had. So I switched over to the Google side, and I realized that since I had gotten that phone, probably in the setup of it, I breezed by one of the things. It was location tracking. And so I open it up, and Google had sent me a snapshot of my 2018 location history. So you can go ahead and pull that up. And so it's a little blurry here, but you can see in my life in 6 months, and I started looking at it, and I was like, at first, obviously, I'm kind of like, whoa, like, they're tracking me. What's happening? And, you know, I didn't really mind, you know, and it didn't really mean much to me at first, or just another email in my box and trying to clean it out. But then I started thinking about it, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. You know, wow, like, look at all these, you know. And so they have all these trends of, like, my location data. So they're showing me all this stuff. So like one of the things I noticed, so they keep track of all my favorite places, visited places. So besides obviously like my home, work, the church, some of my top visited places were like, the gym, Menards, Home Depot, Kroger's, somehow McDonald's got up there, but I'm telling you, I don't know how they got there. I think I visit Taco Bell more than McDonald's, but, so it was just super interesting. I kind of breezed past it. But then as I started preparing for the message, I started realizing that this is actually really cool, you know. And it's not just the locations that I've been, but it's actually kind of, it's the people that I interact with. It's my life, you know. It represents the relationships that I have with hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And this is my missionary field. This is my missionary journey. 6 months of my missionary journey here in Columbus, and I love that. And so today we're actually going to be looking at the Apostle Paul, and we're going to be looking at one of his missionary journeys. And so I think the Apostle Paul also had an Android phone, because he had Google location history as well. You can see here his so. This is actually 3 years of the Apostle Paul's life. And this is his second missionary journey. And he traveled from Jerusalem up through Turkey and down through Greece. And then he took a boat across. And one of the places that he visited in this time was the city of Thessalonica, which is just north of Athens. And it's not exact how much time he was there, but it was roughly around 3 to 5 months, so a decent amount of time. And he probably would have continued to stay there, but his stay was abruptly cut short, he had to leave. But the time that he had spent in Thessalonica, you know, it was clear that he had made some incredible relationships with these people. These were Greek people, and he came there to share the gospel. And he traveled with two friends. He was with Paul, Silas, and Timothy, all traveling to these cities and sharing the gospel with these people. And they would stay in their homes. You know, they probably would try to meet people and stay in their homes. They ended up living with these people, doing life with these people, working with these people. They started a church in Thessalonica. He built relationships with these people. And we actually have the letters that Paul wrote to them after he left. And so today we're going to be reading out of 1 Thessalonians. So if you guys want to turn there, these are the letters. There's two letters that Paul wrote to these his friends and his that he made in Thessalonica. And it is so cool to read the letters that Paul wrote and see, you get to see the relationships that he built. You know, we don't have to wonder about what kind of relationships Paul had with him. You can actually see his heart and his love for these people in the letters that he's writing to them. And they're very poetic, and they're just full of encouragement, and it's so cool to listen to it and read it. It was tempting to just read it all, but we're going to be looking just at the chapter one, and we're going to break that up and today, so it's going to be awesome. So I just want to read to you out of 1 Thessalonians verses 2 through 4. This is in the Message translation. I really like reading this when I'm doing messages because it's very contextual. So it says here, "Every time we think of you, we thank God for you, day and night in our prayers, as we call to mind your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope, following our Master Jesus Christ before our God and Father. It is clear to us, friends, that God not only loves you very much, but also has put his hand on you for something special. And when the message that we preached to you came to you, it wasn't just words, but something happened to you. The Holy Spirit put steel in your convictions." So clearly Paul's saying, like, I'm thinking of you guys. I love you guys. I'm praying for you. And he's reminding them what happened when he was there. You know, the message that he preached to them, they didn't just hear it as words, but they heard it and they took it to heart. And the Spirit of God was upon the message that he preached there, and it convicted their hearts. And again, Paul spent so much time with these people. He lived in one of their houses. One of the houses he lived in was a man named Jason. I'm sure he worked with them, he hung out with them, they probably did most everything together. And Paul even continues on, and he's saying, you know, you guys began to imitate my life. And at first that sounds a little strange, but, you know, when you think about it, how often have you guys seen, you know, people who spend time together begin to imitate one another? You know, there's so many examples of this. Just a few that I've seen. Oh, actually, let's read that passage there, verses 5 through 6. He says, "You paid careful attention to the way we lived among you and determined to live that way yourselves. And imitating us, you imitated the Master. And although with great trouble accompanied the word, you were able to take great joy from the Holy Spirit, and taking the trouble with the joy and the joy with the trouble." Yeah, so these people were imitating him. And they spent time together. They began to see the difference in Paul's life. You know, the Greek culture was very different. And when Paul walks into that culture, his example, the way he walked in this message of Jesus, was so different. And these people grabbed onto that, and they began to imitate Paul. And a movement started to happen in this city. But, you know, some of the ways that you see this people imitating one another, like, for instance, me and Katie's one-year-old, Oren, it's so obvious that, you know, he's looking at me and he's watching me very closely, and he's looking, he's trying to, like, see how I'm talking and moving, and so I'm aware of that, and I'm trying to obviously teach our son how to be a respectful, loving person, and at this point in his life, really more so just how to not hurt himself. But he is imitating me, you know, and that's one way. Obviously, children are imitating their parents. Another way that I've gotten to see this is in youth ministry, leading youth ministry here at the church, but also I had the opportunity to lead Young Life. And in Young Life, you get to meet these young kids, and at first they're maybe shy and unsure of themselves, but you invite them, hey, why don't you come out? Well, I'll take you out to go get some Dairy Queen. You can come hang out, or let's go play frisbee golf. And so they kind of come out and they hang out, and you're like, you know, you should come out to one of our Young Life clubs. And and meet some other friends and play some of the games that we play. And then slowly they maybe would come to a Bible study that we have. And then maybe they would come to a fall retreat that we had. And then maybe that next year they come to a camp. And over time, you begin to see this young person grow and become, obviously they grow into who God has made them to be. But also, you know, they kind of also mold into this lifestyle of the friends that they're around. You know, maybe we've been wearing the same clothes and talking the same way. And there's probably many reasons for this, but I think one of the reasons is that when we as humans experience the unconditional love that is accepting and it's not based off condition, it's like a fertilizer for us. You know, we blossom and we grow into the people who God has made us to be. And it's the most beautiful thing to watch. For me, this didn't really happen until I was about a freshman in college, and I had been going to Young Life for about a year, and I had met these people, and I didn't know much about it, and they, you know, they kind of invited me to go on this leader weekend, and I remember standing in, we were at this hotel, and I was standing in this hotel with about 1,000 other college-age kids, and we're worshiping, and I remember thinking to myself, these are the coolest, nicest, funniest, most beautiful people I've ever met in my life, and they all love Jesus. And I had this realization in my heart where I was like, I want to love Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I want to imitate their life as they follow Jesus. And I made that decision. I said, you know what? And I had a conversation with God right there. I said, I want to believe in you, God. I want to follow Jesus. I want to believe in who you said you were, and the way you demonstrated your life. There comes a point where these young kids that you're mentoring, they also have to make that decision whether or not they want to follow Jesus and begin to imitate you, but also imitate Jesus. This is what was happening, I believe, in Thessalonica. I believe that Paul showed up and these Thessalonians saw his life the way that I saw the life of those around me, and they wanted to imitate it. And by imitating Paul, they began to imitate Jesus. And they began to mold into a lifestyle of Christian fellowship. Part of being a part of Young Life, the pursuit of following Jesus, meant that we were going to go out into a surrounding school or city and share the gospel with young people. And that was new for me at the time. I, being very evangelical like that, I had never experienced that. And they place you in teams, and you go out, and you start to serve a city. And what I didn't realize at the time was, you know, there's a very fulfilling experience as you share the gospel with somebody. But at the same time, it was like an incubator for friendship. You know, we were serving together. We were pursuing God together, and we were sharing the gospel together. And we began to grow close as friends. We spent time together. And we used to joke because it used to sound funny, but also because we were serious. We would say, it's a pleasure to labor in Christ with you. You know, so we would say that, but honestly, it was true. You know, if you've had the joy of serving with somebody, especially in our church, on a ministry team or one of the ministries that we do in the church, and there's a joy, there's a friendship that's formed, maybe on a mission trip. You know, you go out with someone and you're serving together, you're getting dirty together, you're tired together, your hearts are united in a purpose to serve Jesus and to serve the people. And it's a unique friendship that's formed. And I think this is what was happening with Paul as he spent time in Thessalonica. And I want to pause briefly and just talk a little bit about Young Life, because it was a huge part of my life, and what's going on with Young Life in our area and Young Life in our church. So if you ever maybe witnessed it on a Wednesday, if you come out to our clinics on maybe a Wednesday in the fall or the spring, you've maybe seen a few hundred kids out here in the field covered in paint or pancake batter or flour or some sort of substance that they're all throwing at one another, and it has been the funnest thing. We have all these kids out here, and you know, to me, seeing hundreds of young kids doing something crazy like that is a beautiful picture of Jesus. I don't know what that is. It's just, it's a beautiful thing. And also, we've had the opportunity to be hosting the Reynoldsburg Young Life Club in our building, along with our youth ministry. And it's been a really fun experience. So I just to give you a little heads up on that. Moving on. So what was going on in Thessalonica at that time was starting to impact the rest of that, the Macedonia, the surrounding regions. This movement was taking place of these people. And Paul continues his letter here in verse 7. He says, "Do you know that all over the province of Macedonia and Achaia, believers look up to you? The word has gotten out. Your lives are echoing the Master's word, not only in the provinces, but all over the place. The news of your faith has gotten out. The news of your faith in God is out, and we don't even have to say anything anymore. You are the message." So I don't know what exactly they were doing in Thessalonica. Maybe they were having huge paint wars, or maybe they were having big dance parties or bonfires, or you know, honestly, probably what it was this careless freedom because of the grace of God and the message of Jesus that was growing rapidly in that area. And people were taking notice of what was happening. And I think this is partially just because we want to do life together, you know, and that those people, this freedom of Jesus' message, this freedom of the gospel allows us to live freely with one another. And people were wanting to be a part of that. And I believe that was what was happening. And Paul continues in verse 9. He says, "People came up to you to tell us how you received us with open arms, how you deserted the idols of your life to embrace and serve God, the true God. They marveled at how you expectantly you await the arrival of his son, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescued us from certain doom." So this is what's happening. You know, people are noticing how, like, why did you receive these strangers into your house, and why did you guys serve them? And, you know, and they started challenging all these social norms in that city, so much so that it actually upset the local government. You know, and I can't even only imagine how different it must have looked to them to see this Christian fellowship forming. And actually, you know, if you read in Acts 17, you get a kind of a full glimpse of what happened while Paul was there. But eventually what happened was they got kicked out. Paul, Silas, and Timothy had to flee because the local leaders were so threatened by this movement. They said that they're, quote unquote, I love it, they're turning the world upside down here. Everything, this is changing everything. And it was so threatening. But it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And you continue to read this letter that Paul wrote. And I'm telling you, it's a beautiful, I haven't spent so much time reading the letters of Thessalonians, but if you have a chance, it's a wonderful, wonderful letter, very encouraging. But as he continues in chapter 2, you see that Paul is just reassuring them that his time spent there was very genuine, and he's reminding them of what took place while he was there and encouraging them to continue what's happening. And I want to pause and close with one verse in chapter 2, verse 8. And this phrasing is so beautiful. Paul says this. He says, in verse 8, he says, "So affectionately longing of you, we were pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become very dear to us." And I just love that. And it's such a, it's almost like a motto. It's a motto for me, and I think it's a motto for our church, that we want to share the gospel with one another and share the gospel with our city, but we also want to share our lives with each other. And what that means to me is just sharing our hearts with one another is doing life together. And I can really relate to Paul here because he's writing to these friends that he hasn't seen in a very long time. And I'm sure he misses them dearly. And when I think back on the time that I have spent with maybe the time that I was leading Young Life and the friends that I made there that I haven't seen in a long time, and I miss them dearly, you know, and because we labored together, you know, we spent time together, our hearts were united here, and I miss them. But then I think about where I'm at today, and I think about our church, and I think about all of you guys, I think about the awesome friends that I get to lead youth ministry with now, and it's a great joy. So it's a pleasure, and I'm saying this to our church, it's a pleasure to share the gospel with you guys and to share my life as well. And there's nothing more enjoyable to me than to watch people serving in the church. There's so many ministries that we do here, and there's so many ways to serve, and it's just such a great joy to watch each and every one of you guys find your purpose and find your calling, whether it's the worship team or one of the clinics or youth ministry, and I mean the list goes on and on. But I think of each and every one of you and how I've watched you labor physically. Maybe it was with the remodeling, and you know, or the. You know, the landscaping outside when we cut down those trees, or, you know, it just, there's something really special about serving alongside another person for Jesus. So that's part of the encouragement that I want to bring to us today. And lastly, the news of what was happening naturally took hold and it spread like fire in the area. People were taking notice of what was happening. And I tell you guys, people are taking notice. People are watching what's happening in our church. We are making an impact. And you know, we can take advantage of that. People want to be a part of what's happening. They're waiting for that invitation. So just know that and be confident in that as you go out. And people say, hey, you know, where do you go to church? Well, I go to the Vineyard. And I hear people say all the time, oh, I know that church, you know, and they're doing this. And they want that invitation. And so we need to extend that to them because, you know, we're making an impact here in this. And we are, this is the Thessalonians, but we are the Reynoldsburgians, if you will, for that case, you know. In my letter to you, I would echo Paul's words. I would echo them. And so thank you all for what you do. I love you all dearly, and it is a pleasure to labor in Christ with you all. So thank you. Yeah. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to take our offering. Lord, thank you so much for the example that we have through Paul's ministry and his missions. God, it's so clear the joy that you have for those who are serving together. And Lord, may we imitate one another as our lives become the gospel. And we imitate each other, and in so, God, we imitate you, and we imitate you to those who do not know you, that they can see our lives and know you. They can be a part of our church and know your unconditional love. I thank you for that, God. We can have our ushers come forward. I really feel like I just want to go back and clarify something that we read, and it's just part of Paul saying, you imitated me. And it seems strange when you read that, but I really feel strongly about this, and it's that, you know, I personally have witnessed people in my life, and I've watched them, and their behavior, their character has witnessed to my spirit, and I've wanted to naturally imitate them. Their service and their life, to me, I saw Jesus in them. And so first, I just want to, Rob, I just, you know, you're just on my heart, because I want you to know, and I want to thank you, because your willingness to labor, and I mean physical labor, because you could do more work than I thought possible. And I want to thank you, because the way that you serve this church is a witness to me. And I've seen Jesus in you, even in that, you know, even in you painting walls. You've witnessed to me. God witnessed to me through you because of your willingness to labor. And Paul even mentions that in his letter to them. He said, remember how I labored, how I worked to not be a burden to you, but to serve you. And so I thank you for that. But there's a key part to it that is so absolutely crucial. And if it's not there, then it's all wrong. And it's that we don't imitate people. Because people are imperfect. We're all imperfect. But when we accept the presence of God into our lives, He changes us and our hearts change. And with that, with the presence of God in our hearts, people see that in us. So without that, you know, we become imitators of one another, which is a downhill slope. But with the presence of God, we become imitators of Him. And with that, we change the world. So I feel called to talk to those who maybe are sitting there thinking, you know, I want to be an example. I want my life to be an example. I felt that way. I remember thinking, I want to be like these people. I want to be an example to those. I want my life to be the gospel. And what I felt Him saying to me today was that if that's you, you need the presence of God. You need His Spirit in your heart and in your life. And if the presence of God is in your heart and in your life, then you do become the gospel to others. Your life becomes the message. And people will feel God's presence and love through you. So if you're here today and you're thinking, yes, I want to be the message. I want my life to be the gospel. Just please show me so we can pray for you if that's you. Because today, yes, Rob, yes, I want to be the gospel. And honestly, guys, we need more. You know, we need more. We need more, God. If you want more today, if this is your first time, if you want more, yes, this is amazing. Because we can, guys. We can be the gospel message in your workplace, at your schools, at your homes, with the presence of God. So, Lord, I just thank you for those who are raising their hands right now. Maybe it's their first time. They've never received your presence, Lord. God, just flood their heart. Just fill their life right now. And God, those who want more, God, we want more. You have more for us, God. We can be an even brighter light, God, even more flavor and even more color to this world. God, the world needs you. Use us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Fill them up, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. And then, you know, there's another phrase in the Thessalonian letters that I'll end with this. And he just says, encourage one another. Encourage one another. Let's just take that. Let us encourage one another. Amen?